Hey there, welcome back to That's Not Proper, and I'm your host, Corey Asuncion. Midlife. I don't know about you, but that term kind of terrifies me a little bit. I know it's coming, or maybe I'm in it. I don't really know what the defining factor as far as age is, but I know that it's coming. I hear these horror stories. I remember watching my mom go through it. And I'm wondering, can I get a leg up on this? What can I do differently during this time? What do I need to be prepared for? And how can I fight those stigmas and those fears that are associated with it? Today, I'm talking with midlife navigator Laura Rubin, whose mission is to change the stigma of midlife for women. Thank you so much, Laura, for joining me today. How are you?
I am awesome, and I am happy to be here, Corey.
Thank you. Okay, so here's the deal. When you and I first connected, I got pretty excited because, well, first of all, I think I'm in midlife. I don't really know what the defining factor is. I think my kids will tell me, you're definitely in midlife, Mom. But in my mind, I'm like, no way. Am I here already? Is this happening right now?
Right.
I guess. So my first question is, what defines midlife?
So if you're going to look at it age-wise, it really, and what midlife originally, or not originally, but what you think of is, let's say you're going to live to be 80, your midlife would be 40. That would be the beginning of it. So for me and for the women that I work with, I just say 40 and above. Anyone 40 and above. And as you know, we get longevity and we are older and we get to live longer and longer. Midlife, the beginning of midlife might be 50. But for all intents and purposes, I say 40, 45, we start headed into our midlife.
So that means I'm definitely here.
Yes. Yes.
Darn it.
It's a great place to be.
Well, and that's why I really wanted to talk with you, because I love that you have the title of midlife navigator, because going back a little bit, I remember when my mom and I are only 19 years apart. And so we're close in age. Same with my oldest daughter and myself. So I actually, because of that age, you know, the age difference being so small, I have a really good recollection of when she was 30, when she turned 40 was the same year I turned 21, you know, so I'm very aware of what she went through, and God love her, but she was a little bit hysterical. And so I don't want to do that, but I'm also a little bit afraid of, it's like impending doom, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And I really want to be able to come into that, although now I'm finding out I'm already here, but I would really like to be able to approach it in a way that's different than historically women have approached that time of their life. We've talked about, you see it in the media and things like that. There's fears and stigmas associated with that, and almost feel like, and I think this is why I don't want to be there yet, is you almost feel like you're looked down upon because you've hit midlife. There's memes and jokes and things that happen, and maybe you're not as valuable or as significant for some reason. And destroying those fears and stigmas that are associated with it are really important to me.
And that's exactly right. And all of that, had our parents, our mothers grew up with all of those. Society, you know, wants us to believe that when we hit midlife, we're washed up, we're done. But I really believe we are in a different place now. And we are in a place as women that when we rise up together, we can change the stigma. I consider it a stigma, and we can change that, because like yourself, you're alive, you're vibrant, you're not ready for the rocking chair. And all of the women that I come in contact with feel the same way. And when we band together, we can prove and show that this is not our mother's midlife, and it's not something to be feared. It's not something to be afraid of. It is something to embrace, and it is a wonderful time of life for us to embrace. We have so much wisdom and so much that we can offer. We have to raise up, believe that, take back our lives, and live life on purpose and live life on our terms, and show that it doesn't have to be the rocking chair. We don't need to be dismissed. You know, we have something to offer.
I love the idea of women banding together and rising up. It's like, I can see it. Oh, you know, you can see it happening. I love it. But how can we prepare for this then? Those of us that maybe haven't hit midlife, I think that I wish I would have done this podcast 10 years ago. Cause then when I'm here, I am now finding out I'll be 47 here in a couple of weeks.
Oh, you are.
And so I'm in the midst of it. So what can those of us that are where I'm at early on, or even those that haven't really kind of hit that point, what are the things that we can do to prepare whether it be ourselves or society or other women to go forward and erase that fear and that stigma? And like you said, band together and rise up.
I think first of all, we have to, it's an individual thing. You know, we do it, we evolve within each other, and then we band together and have the revolution. So we need to start realizing that life, it's okay to focus on ourselves. It's okay to figure out what we want to do. You know, we live life with as a mother, as a wife, we have labels, mother, wife, CEO. When we take those labels away, do we know who we really are? Do we know what we stand for? What are the core values? How do we want to live our life? And those are things that we can look at. I'm working with women in midlife because lots of times we go through life ticking off the boxes, career, college, career, marriage, all of those things. And then we hit midlife and think, wait a minute, isn't there more? But if in that trajectory of our lives, we stop and start looking at what's important to us, who are we? And because we can do this at any time. It just so happens, it seems like at midlife is when we're really at a point where we're not climbing the corporate ladder. We're not raising our children. We have the ability to have this white space, as Brené Brown calls it, to kind of go inward and realize that we have a little more space to figure out, who are we? We're not leading the frenetic life that maybe we were leading before. And so, but these are certainly things that we can do in our 30s, in our 20s. We can find, we need to really just determine who we are and what matters to us, and then live our life according to those guidelines and what we've discovered about ourselves.
Those are really important things. I remember seven years ago. My youngest child right now is 12. So he was somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 years old at that time. And I hit a point where I was like, who am I? My children have now, my youngest was around five. However, my children's ages range. My oldest is 28. So majority of the actual upbringing was done.
Right.
And I didn't have to do as much, which in my mind equated to wasn't needed. Mm-hmm. I wasn't needed anymore. I didn't even know where to, like, what do I do with this empty time? It wasn't like there was a ton of it, but all of a sudden I could take a nap. Wait, what? Without prepping and calling on people to make sure this was done. I had people that could help do chores. By people, I mean my children.
Yes.
And I remember getting to a place feeling like, who am I? And what is my purpose? And this is not what I thought was going to happen. And never really sitting down and finding out who I was. And so now here I am in my, you know, mid anymore? It's not. I'm over the hill of mid 40s and I'm figuring those things out now. But if I had had a leg up, that would have, I think, changed everything for me. And so I agree that we need to find those things out, but find them out when you're in your 20s. I wish I had done that way back then. And I wish someone had said that to me.
The other thing to remember is what you may have found out about yourself in your 20s and your 30s, it evolves. It's not going to be the same. But the big picture is you would have known you would have known about the journey, and you would have, you know, you would have known, okay, at 20, I'm here. You could have hit 30, maybe felt the same way, gone on that journey again. Hit 40, gone on that journey. So you would have already primed yourself to what it takes, or what, you know, when you started feeling that feeling of something's not right, it's missing, you would have, oh, time to rethink about who I am and what matters at this stage in my life. Because every stage has a different who we are and what matters.
I agree. I totally agree. Different things were of value to me. And I was a different person in a sense than I am now when I was in my 20s. But I would have, the idea of knowing how to take those steps, it's a weird thing being in this space at this age now. And it feels like you're a newborn baby having to start all over. And it would have been kind of cool if I was in my 20s. And so I would have like, oh no, this is that part where I start over again. Okay, I know how to do this because I've done this before. So encouraging young women out there, please find this stuff out. The other thing I wanted to really talk to you about though was you talk a lot about on your website and with you, what you do, mindset. And I think that what I think of midlife, actually, it was funny because as Astor first talking to, I didn't consider mindset as much with regards to this aspect of my life. I'm always thinking of biological. And so like, I remember I got my very first mammogram just a couple years ago. Should have gotten it sooner, didn't. Got my very first mammogram. And there was some changes in my body that I had noticed. I had had a hysterectomy several years ago. So the period thing was not an issue because I wasn't going to have one anyhow because I had a hysterectomy. But I still had my ovaries. I didn't. So I hadn't been put directly into menopause. But there were some changes that were happening. So when I think of midlife, I think of menopause. And I think of the fear of menopause. And I think at that time I had asked the doctor, hey, could you test me my hormone levels? And he told me, well, it's going to happen anyhow. So why do I need to test you? And I was like, well, I wanted to know now, because I like to be organized and planned. So needless to say, I think that a lot of times when we think of midlife, especially as women, we think of the biological aspect of it and how can we stop it? How can we change it? But I know a lot of your focus is more on mindset during this time.
The physical is going to happen, the physical side of things. And everyone will have a different experience. Some it will be harder for others. And we can't control necessarily how our bodies handle midlife physically. But what we can control is our mindset and our belief around it. And we can go into it feeling confident in who we are, confident in we can handle whatever comes to us. And certainly if we're struggling and it's a little bit more difficult time, there are other resources, your doctor, supplements, things like that, that can help you with the physical side of things. But ideally, if you don't have a good mindset around it, all of that is going to throw you for a loop. So I think mindset really is the number one key to living your best midlife and just feeling confident in who you are and what you have to offer and how you live your life and that you can handle whatever comes your way because you're very solid in who you are.
So with regards to mindset then and midlife, what would you suggest then for women who are encroaching this or wanting to prepare? How do we begin then? Because we hear that term mindset. And I think that it can be different for each person.
Definitely.
But what does that mean then, practically speaking, for women out there? What does that mean?
The first part, and mindset is a word that's thrown around all the time. But for right. me, for what I help my clients do, the first thing I help them do is to strip away the shoulds, the I think I should be doing this, I think I should know what I want to be when I grow up. We go back to basics in that we start paying attention to how do we feel when we get up? What are we excited about doing today? What happened today that we weren't excited about? Going out into nature and just start paying attention to the world around us because we get on this hamster wheel, we get thrown into autopilot, and we just do the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And we haven't really taken the time to be mindful, to pay attention to what we like, what we don't like, what happened during the day, taking time for ourselves. So we strip all the busyness and the living on autopilot away and start I start helping my clients to really focus and pay attention to what's going on in their life, what they like and what they don't like. So that's the beginning. They start to awaken. So as opposed to having a midlife crisis at this time, I see it as a midlife awakening, starting to awaken to who they are and to figure out what they like and what they don't like. And then from there, we do exercises around discovering what our core values are. I'll ask a woman what their core values are, and they may have an idea of what they are, but they haven't really honed them down to maybe five key areas or five key words that they could say, these are my core values. And then from the core values, we'll work on writing what I call the midlife manifesto. And these are 5 to 10 statements of how we want to live our life, what we want, you know, what's important to us. And some of those statements might not be how we're living our life right now. It might be where we want to get to. Then we create a roadmap that takes us to that. So we start being mindful of what we like, what we don't like, what lights us up, what's important to us. So that's the important. And start recognizing, how do I feel in my body? What am I thinking? How does that translate to what I'm feeling in my body? Things like that. So you just start being mindful of what's going on. And it's a mindset of having a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. Fixed mindset says, this is how we are. We're never going to change. You know, and some people are very happy with where they are and they want to stay there. And that's perfectly fine. Others are, there's more to life. I want to know more about myself. I want to understand how I operate and what's important to me and what lights me on fire. That's the growth mindset.
What's interesting to me is when you had said mindful of self and then the core values, the first thing it made me think of is putting yourself in that space where you're considering those things. You had said earlier about ticking off the boxes, and it makes me think of being stuck in what society labels us as. These are the things we're supposed to do, traditions and norms, and have you check these boxes off? And I know that I can speak for myself in saying that you get so wrapped up in those traditions and those values, you kind of lose who you are because of it. And so the idea of stopping and saying, wait a second, do I want these things because I want them? Am I doing these things because I'm choosing to do them? Or is this something else? So that idea of being able to stop and figure out mindfully if these are things that you want, and then progress and find out your core values. It's funny when you said core values, I was in my head, I'm kind of thinking, what are my core values? Yeah. you know, it's something it's not something I think about. You do a robotic, I guess. Every day is kind of robotic in a sense. This is what I do, and this is where I'm going to go. And especially as a mom, it's kind of the same repetitive thing for many years, especially when they're younger. And like I said, when I hit that point where it wasn't like that anymore, when my youngest was reaching that point where he didn't need me in the same way, and the other ones were like, "Who, you know, they wanted nothing to do with me." So I didn't know what to do with myself because, wait a second, where's the next box that I'm supposed to check off? Right. You know? Yeah.
The box is gone. There is no. So now the box is find out about me. That's the box. That's that next box. But when you're in that and you're doing it, you don't really think about it. You don't realize it. As you said, once your children are old enough to take care of themselves, all of a sudden it's like, okay, now what do I do? You know, what do I do with all this time or this time that has come up? Who am I? People are, you know, women are wondering, who are they if they're not a wife and a mother and, you know, the CEO of the company? Who really are they? And that's why the core values are so important. And from those core values and your midlife manifesto, it gets easier to say no to things because it doesn't fit who you really are. And you're at a place where you're willing to say no. When you say yes, it's a real yes. When you say no, there's a reason behind the no, and you don't feel guilty because you really have a good sense of who you are and what's important to you. And is what you're saying yes or no to going to lead you or be the person that you want to be, that you realize that you are? You start to live in alignment with who you are.
The guilt is interesting. It's interesting that you brought that up, because in our house, we say guilt isn't real, or guilt is like fear is a liar. It lies to you.
Yes.
And so instead of saying guilt, we use another word that defines it more accurately. It doesn't change the fact that countless times, you feel guilty. I have this time all of a sudden, and I'm not using it to whatever, do something for my kids or do something for my partner or do something for, you know, the house or everybody else. Wait a second. This time is for me. Now I feel guilt. Yes. Now I feel shameful. That is a mountain to climb, I think, sometimes for some of us.
It is a huge mind shift. It is. And that's, again, the mindset. And that in everything that we're talking about, you are not going to get from A to D in that huge step. You're going to take little tiny steps each day that's going to build upon the last one. And then before you know it, you will have gotten to D. It's like, you know, some people can go from A to D in one huge swoop and be successful at it. A lot of us need those little tiny steps. And all that takes is one small step toward that goal, toward who you want to be. And then it's like, okay, got that one. What's the next? What's the next? Mm-hmm. What's the next? And eventually you're there. Before you even know it, you look back and it's like, wow, how did I get here? One small step at a time.
Yeah, I love the idea of baby steps. I say that a lot because I know for myself, it's scary, you know, to step outside of what you've always done and maybe even go, wait a second, these things that I've done or believed, maybe they weren't the best way to do it. You can't go back and change it, but what can I do now? And this is out of my comfort zone, but those tiny little baby step, it does make a difference. It's almost empowering. I did it. Okay, wait, I can go a little bit bigger this time, you know?
And that's the whole process, is taking you out of your comfort zone. And you need to be prepared for that. We are. I mean, if you want to get to someplace better, no matter what you're doing at whatever point in your life, at some point, we all have to get out of our comfort zones. But here's, like you said, that one little step, I did it, makes you feel a little bit better. I've got the confidence. I could do it. So if you look back at your life, you've hit your midlife, look back at life, at all the things that you accomplished, that for you, it was just like, well, doesn't everybody do this? Well, maybe everybody doesn't do it. And even if everybody does do it, then everybody is making that accomplishment. So we go back and we look at look at the things that you've accomplished that you were able to make happen, and build your confidence off of what. It's not like you spent your whole life up to 40, 47, not having any accomplishments. Appreciate those. And they've gotten you to where you are, and they've made you the woman that you are. And now you build on that and really dive into who you want to be and take that experience and grow.
Would you say that a lot of women that you are coaching, helping to navigate life with, this point of our lives with, would you say that there's a lot that maybe feel as though they're alone in this?
Yes, I think it's becoming less and less. But I know that when I get with a group of women and we start discussing it, all the heads start to nod, and then they start even speaking more, and it gets to be this great, rich discussion that maybe they didn't, like you said, they did not realize. I would say the majority of women in midlife at some point have felt these feelings, and it's just a matter of, do we want to take that step, get out of our comfort zone, and do something about it? And then the minute you find other people, and it's true in any stage of life, though you're going through things, the minute you have a group, all of a sudden, there's camaraderie, there's safety, there's support. Your ability to grow and become this person you want to be grows exponentially. And I believe there is nothing more powerful than a group of women that are on the same mission. We're unstoppable, absolutely unstoppable.
It makes those baby steps easier if you know someone else is taking them alongside with you.
Yeah.
Or at least cheering you in the background as you take those baby steps. With regards to that, then, when you're talking with these women, I'm curious, what would you say are some like facts versus myths with regards to midlife, whether it be in thought or mindset or even biologically?
I would say for me, the ones that come up, I'm too old to do this. You're never too old. That ship has sailed. Those are the kind of thing, those statements that lead women to believe, or they've convinced themselves that it's too late. They can't make the changes. As far as physically, again, everybody experiences something different. And for me, my physical experiences have not been, they've been annoying more than debilitating. So, you know, I've been able to work through them. Again, it's more annoying. I get that hot flash at the wrong time. And it's like, really now? But it's not to the point where I feel like I have to visit a doctor or I want to see someone and need supplements or things like that. But there is, the other thing is, no one has to go through this alone. We are all in this, going through this same stage, and we can support and help each other along the way. And there is support and there are resources out there, especially in terms of the physical side of things, that you can research and make informed choices about what works for you and what way you want to go. I will tell you though, one of the reasons I went on this journey and I found my calling was in my research and just trying to figure out what my passion, what my purpose, trying to, you know, align myself with who I really was. There was not a lot of great information, but not a lot of information that was geared toward midlife women in general. And so that's where I started the conversation, in that this great information is slightly different for the stage that we're in. We aren't mothers, you know, trying to build a business and that kind of thing. And that's a whole different, you know, area of, you know, what it takes to, you know, be a young mom and trying to grow a business and with children at home and things like that. But we're in a little bit different stage. We're hopefully a little bit different stage economically, where our family is, that kind of thing. And so what works for us, or where our mindset is a little bit different. And there was not a lot of information geared toward that stage. And so I thought, and I was getting super excited about what I was learning, and I wanted to share that with other women. And as I started to speak to other women about it, I realized I was not the only one, and there were others. And so we, you know, it's a great experience. And we have, I feel like at this age and stage, we have so much wisdom because of our life experiences, that my next 40 years is going to be, in my opinion, way better than my first 57 years, because I'm 57. And I am so stoked about what the next, you know, 40 years, 30 years for me is going to look like.
When you said that there wasn't much information, it made me think that it has to do in part, or maybe in whole, with, we've just accepted it. It just become accepted. I wonder too, if a lot of that has to do with men being kind of in positions of the medical community, as far as establishing, you know, how things are supposed to go. And so it's all been very, scientific instead of personal. But I think that that's part of what it is for myself, is I'm like, yes, I can Google things, but I don't really know what's really going to happen. And I think even like when I talk about my mother or my grandmother, there wasn't really any talk about, you heard the bad things, you know, you saw the emotional side, you saw some of the crises and doing things like running out and buying a car or whatever. There was no real conversation, deep conversation about what was truly going on. And I love that you have found this space where that needs to be filled, is really what it is. And so your purpose as a midlife navigator, share that with me. What do you do within your business, and how can everybody get in contact with you?
So my goal with navigating women in midlife is to raise them up so that they believe in themselves, they take back their life, and they step into their feminine power. They realize how great this time can be, and be proud of who they are and what they have to offer, and just not let it be like our mom's midlife, where they reached it and it was like, okay, this is it. This is going to be midlife. There's nothing more. And that's so that's just not the way I want to live my midlife. And I don't think today's midlife lady wants to live it that way either. So I'm here to support and guide and help these women realize there is so much more we have to offer and so much more that we can do. And let's just raise up together and change the stigma that society has said midlife is. And that's really when you, and it's interesting, when you do a Google search on midlife, what's the first word that comes up? Crisis. Again, it's not a crisis. And crisis really means change. So they took the basic, you know, they turned it into a negative word when it really isn't. It's a midlife change. It's a midlife awakening. So that's what I'm here to help my women do. You can find me on the web at lauramarierubin.com. I do have a Facebook group that's called The Midlife Revolution. And it is a private group that we come together. I do trainings on there. We share thoughts about midlife, about what's going on. And it's really a great community of like-minded women. And it's a great place to just kind of start sharing those questions and seeing what everyone else is going through. And then at the same time, I provide support within the group. So that's a Facebook group called The Midlife Woman, Midlife Revolution, pardon me. And then you can also find me on LinkedIn and then in Facebook, just under Laura M. Rubin as well.
And I'll make sure to include all that information as far as your website and the Facebook group page in the show notes. One question I do have with regards to the midlife navigation, how are you doing that right now with regards to everything that's going on as far as in person? Are people able to communicate with you like Zoom meetings? How are you working that right now?
So one of the things that I offer is one-on-one coaching. And that right now is all done via online in some way. You know, we do, there are questionnaires that we fill out. There's a lot of homework that's given, but it's all done via phone, Zoom. I also have a Midlife Revolution Salon that is a quarterly, just intimate gathering. We would do those in person, obviously not right now. So we've done those as Zoom as well. The other offering that I have is the True North Traveler Gathering, which is a retreat. That's just tabled right now because that really is something that, in my opinion, is more beneficial as an in-person event. So we've tabled that right now and we'll come back to that once we're able to gather together again.
Perfect. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that they could still contact you. Despite everything that's going on right now. Anyhow, thank you so very much for joining me today. I appreciate it. You have actually enlightened me greatly, and I'm going to go sit down later on today and find out what my core values are. Thank you again.
Viva la midlife revolution.
I love revolution. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening in to today's episode of That's Not Proper. If you are interested in connecting with Laura, her website is lauramarierubin.com. And the Facebook group that she was talking about is called Midlife Revolution. I will be including the links to both of those pages in the show notes, so you can click on those and head right on over. Otherwise, type them into your browser. And remember to stay tuned for next week's episode of That's Not Proper. You can also check me out on Instagram and Facebook at That's Not Proper, as well as my website, thatsnotproper.com.